Who's excited to be in the house of God tonight? Yes. At least all of you. Great. I'm so glad. I'm excited too. It was great this morning just to have my friend here, Ross. I don't know if you've been here in the morning. Did he bless you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I knew he would have, but just checking. I was great there in Durbanville as well. But every time I go to other places, I'm just like, I love my people. You guys are awesome. You guys are special. Those guys are special too, but you are more than that. So I really miss you. But thank you so much for being so expectant on just the word that Ross has brought. tonight I want to, you know, something that's been in my heart for a while now is because, you know, we've been doing a whole series on just, is it ergens die ligte af is? Just put off the lights because there's a buzz here that's bugging me. But if it's too bad, then okay, is that better? All right. Can you still see me? Yes, hallelujah. Can you see the shining stuff here? Am I shining in your face? Okay, great. So it's been in my heart because we've been doing a whole sermon series just regarding intercession and prayer. And that was really cool, and it's great to see the things that God is doing, and especially in the place of salvation, you know, where God is just bringing people, and people are getting saved here with us in church, and that always blesses me. You know, if you can have people come to church and then they get saved there, and a lot of things, that is great, because that is the one place where God is, He gets excited, heaven gets excited, is when one sinner turns from their sin and comes to know Him. So. Like Anton said in one of his sermons, you guys can go and listen to it, is when he spoke about just this whole prophetic intercession, there's two things that we need to do. We need to pray, like we do, but then we also need to act on our prayers. It's not good enough for us just to pray. It's great to pray. Continue to pray. But don't just pray in that place and never set your foot out on the water to share or to do what God has laid in your heart for the people that you've prayed for. Okay, so in this next while, I'm trusting God that He would just bring this home to us as well. You know, we will speak a little bit just about this thing, the power to witness. And tonight I want to, you know, it's kind of like a work in progress. We're going to do a lot of things regarding this. But I want us to start from that place, and excuse me. You know, when we speak about the power to witness, who of you are afraid to witness? No, okay. Who of you are not afraid to to witness? Okay, so those of you not. Anyway, sorry, I didn't want to put you on the spot. But it's fine, you know, to kind of have that butterfly thing going whenever you want to share your faith. Because it's sometimes, you know, it's a little bit daunting for us to go out and to speak to somebody, especially that you don't know. Sometimes it's even more daunting to speak to somebody that you do know. I think that it's worse because they know you rather than you not knowing them or knowing them. So when you go out to speak to people, and that's what we need to do, but it's a difficult thing for many of us. And I praise the Lord, you know, for helping me do this through my growing up years as a church, just as an infant Christian in Stellenbosch. The best way that you can do this is to have somebody take you by the hand and say, come on, let's go do this. And now people are like, well, please don't take my hand, okay. Leave my hand be. I'll pray for you. But you know what is great when you start to move? And I'm not like, I'm not Bible bashing type of things. You know, these people standing, and that's fine too. You know, people standing on the street saying, you know, Jesus loves you. If that's good, that's great. You know, you get guys standing on the corners and they shouting, you are going to hell. The whole world is going to hell. And then I'm like, yay, I want to speak to you, yes, please, if I'm not a Christian. We must love people, okay? But when you are going out and you are with somebody, you know, it's kind of like an adventure when you're witnessing to people. Because you know what? God is even more into that than you are. If you are willing, and you know, God is just bringing this back to me. I missed it twice this week. I have already repented. You know, where I couldn't get myself to go. And I'm a pastor and all that, you know, and I'm doing the sermon and everything. But I was really just, you know, I was going and I didn't really know what to say. And I'm like, God, what am I going to say? And I went again and then I went out. And as I went out, I'm like, don't be such a wuss of all. Come on. And I'm going and then I couldn't find the people. Okay? Sometimes you just have a window opportunity and you miss it. So before I go too much deeper into that, let's just read the scripture for tonight. It's in Acts 1, verse 1 to 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Okay, this is now Dr. Luke speaking. He's wrote the first book, Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And now the second book is Acts, which Luke also wrote. And he says, in the first book, the book of Luke, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Until the day that he was taken up. After he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when he had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which my Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in robes, and then they said, okay, go and wait. So, there's these two books that he writes, and then in Luke, in the first book, Luke 24, just want to bring that, to read that. In Luke 24, 47, Jesus says to his disciples, this is now before he ascended to heaven, still in the previous book, he said, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in my name to all nations from the beginning of Jerusalem. And then he says, almost the same as in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that he says it already in Luke. He says, you are witnesses of these things. Of what things? Of Jesus. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, which is the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high, and then you will be witnesses. Okay, so before Jesus ascends, he says, listen, wait for that power. And I've already done a whole sermon. I'm not going to do a sermon again on the Holy Spirit tonight. But this is the crux of the matter. Jesus says, you will receive the Holy Spirit for one purpose. To receive power so that you can be a witness. A witness for Christ. And witness in many ways. But that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. To bear witness of Christ and what Christ has done. So, for many of us, you know, this, and I say it a lot for people, especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what you do, you know, because for some people, the Holy Spirit is like tongues and whatever. It is that too. But for me, the common denominator in any person's life regarding the Holy Spirit is, do you have power in your life and people can see it? Power to witness, power to do miracles, power to transform. Is there power that is witnessed by other people in your life through the Holy Spirit at this very moment? Okay, so when Jesus spoke these things, it wasn't as if the disciples didn't have any joy or anything, because after Jesus has gone up, before the Holy Spirit comes, they went away there full of joy, praising the Lord and getting together. Okay? They are happy people after Jesus ascended. They are just so full of joy. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Now they are waiting for the Holy Spirit and for the power from on high. So, God gives us this special power, and that's what I want to dwell upon a little bit tonight. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness for Jesus. But I want to make it easy tonight, okay? Because for some of us, this is the most daunting thing that you can do. Speak to somebody about your faith. Weird. But it is so. Who of you have in the last while, you don't have to put your hands up, but in the last week, the last month, the last year, have shared your witness of Christ with somebody? Okay, don't put up your hands. You don't have to do that. Hopefully, if I said in the last year, all of you would have put up your hand. But anyway, are we living a lifestyle of, in this power of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness of Christ in our lives to other people? Or have we become dormant? You know, doing a lot of stuff, praying and doing great things, coming to church and all that. But that lifestyle of just sharing what God has done in us is not there. Okay, so now I want to move a little bit away from just this power to witness in the sense of just the Holy Spirit and all the gifts and stuff. And I want to make it a bit easier. And you're going to participate tonight, okay? So it's not just going to be Duval speaking here. So, in Revelation 12 verse 11, it says, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Okay? So, that is what God has given us as warfare tools. This is how you fight. You fight with the blood of Christ and the word of whose testimony? My testimony. So, I was thinking this. I was washing a lot of dishes this afternoon. We had 15 people over for lunch/dinner yesterday. So I had a lot of time to think. And as I was washing the dishes, you know, this thought came to me because I just wanted to minister on this, and I just felt God say no. I want you to make it a little bit more practical tonight. So that's why I'm going here now. So, example. This morning, we have the privilege of having 10 new Burble baby dogs. Hallelujah. In our house, or in the Wend house. But for the first 3 weeks, it was fine. Because mommy was doing a job fine. And then, okay, yesterday was 4 weeks. So yeah, between 3 and 4 weeks, she's kind of like, I did my part. It is now your turn. So now I have been feeding, and you know, some of them, they don't want to drink, then I have to make them drink. Anyway, I can't give milk. Okay, not in that way, but you see, some of them, you know, is going a little bit weak, and then I need to make a plan because Madame, she just wants to lick me. She's done with this, and now I'm doing this whole deal. This morning, before I go to Durbanville to preach there, you know, before I get showered and dressed and that, I think, okay, let me just sort out the puppies. So I sort them out, or get their food ready. And then I walk out like I do every day. No. I do that anyway. Stepping into the spawnsdorings. I don't know what's that in English. Anyway, the dog poo. But that's fine. So just stepping off the steps. How many times have I gone off that steps? I don't know. Lots of times. And I don't know what happened this morning. I'm barefoot, going off that step, And as I go off, just stepping down, you know, there's nothing there. I don't know what happened. My second toe from the right gets caught on one of the bricks. And, okay, so sometimes you kick your toe against something and that's fine. This is the first time that something like this has happened to me. Hallelujah. It gets caught, not on the front side, on the back side of my toenail. Like here where it grows out. And it rips the whole nail off. And I'm like, well, it's not off. It's like just the front part is still stuck. But I can't get it off. And I'm like, Jesus, how did you make the cross with everything that you've done for me? But the point that I want to bring across, power to witness, is all of us have got this thing that Jesus did so wonderfully well and that I've demonstrated to you now. All of us have got the power to witness in narrative in us. You were riveted to my story. And it wasn't even spiritual. Oh, well, at the end I made it spiritual, but you were listening to my story. That is what witnessing is, people. You are telling your story of what Christ has done in your life. And you can get over yourself. Now people are just thinking, they can't hear anything that I'm saying. It's just, they see the toenail. Okay, get that toenail out of your head. I'm okay now. I'm full of pills, you know, I'm drugged here. No, joking. I only had one pill this morning. The gospel, no. So, in that place of power to witness, all of us have got a story. What's your story? And start to think when you are speaking to people how you can bring the story of what Christ has done in your life into the conversation. Not forcingly, but just speak it. Speak what Christ has done in you. Because that is the power that the Holy Spirit has given you. And people will be transformed because of your story. But no, we want to make it heavy and deep and whatever. You don't need a heavy, deep story to witness of what God has done in your life. We were having some people over, like I said yesterday. And it was just so great to me. We were just speaking. And people were telling their stories. And we were rolling around on the floor almost, you know, laughing at the nonsense that has happened in our lives. Okay, it's not nonsense for many, but just our stuff. Here's another story for you. The power of narrative. Do you know what? I have driven in the back of a police van. I did. Any others? No, it's okay. Don't worry. So I'm a student and I'm going on an outreach. That's the plan. So I get into my dad's car. It's a Volkswagen Jetta. And I won't tell the rest of the story because that was a little bit rough. But then I get into the car in the Free State. I'm going on a mission. We're going to the Transkei. And I'm married to a forward-thinking, wonderful woman that plans ahead. I married her. I wasn't like that. So now I'm going on this mission. I'm packed my stuff and everything. I'm driving with my dad's Jetta. And we are going to get the bus that comes from Stellenbosch. We are meeting the bus in Graaf-Reinet. Hallelujah. So we drive there. We get to Graaf Reinet, yeah, 10 o'clock at night. You know how what Graaf Reinet looks like that time of the evening? It's dead still. Now we get there, me and my chummy, Johan, we're going on this mission. And I stop there and I'm like, what am I going to do with the car? I'm getting on a bus. And I've got my dad's Jetta with me. Now I've got a problem. Okay, so I can take him to the police station. And what do I do? Anyway, we get to this place, the Klippies. It's like a bed and breakfast thing and whatever. There's some life there. So we go in there. Now I get there, there's like two dudes there. They own that place. So now I'm in there and I'm saying, listen, I've got a problem. I'm going on this mission. I don't know where to park my car. Can you take my car? Yeah, yeah, it's fine. I think only a student will do stupid stuff like that. So I leave the car with random people I just met. Give them the keys and say, okay. And then I say, listen, we're going to be gone for 2 weeks. On this day, we will be back. Please have my car ready. So we go and we have a nice outreach. And as we come back to Graaf Reinet, a wonderful outreach. God has done amazing things. Now I enter Graaf Reinet again at night. Again, 10, 11 o'clock. I don't know. No, it was later. It was like 12 o'clock. We get there. Again, dead still. Now I go there and I'm like hoping my car is there with this little, you know, I don't know what, like an envelope or something there. It says, hello, welcome back. Take your car. Bye. To no knee. So I got there and no car. We've got some bags on our backs. We just did this wonderful outreach. And now we've got nowhere to go because we don't have a car. Now we're walking down the street. These two gentlemen. And here comes the police van. And they're asking me, where are you going? I said, listen, I don't know where I'm going. We've got nowhere. And it's winter. It's cold in the Karoo in winter. And then they say, listen, you might die here if you sleep outside tonight. So get in the van. So that's how I got in the back of a police van. And they took us to this place and we slept at the police barracks for that evening. Or like, you know, kind of like the hostel, the rest there. And that's it. He said, it's going to cost you 10 rand per person per night. And we're like, sorry, no money. So they let us sleep there for free. Got up the next morning, went to back to the place. Here the guys are. And they're like, oh, you came back yesterday. He said, yes, we were here yesterday. Oh, you thought you were coming back today. Anyway, so the guy gave me my car back and then we went back to the Free State. But anyway. The faithfulness of God is amazing. Stupid as I was. Knowing me, not planning ahead too well those days, he's sorted me out. To have a great story to tell you, but to also show you the faithfulness of God. So when God gives us the power to witness through the Holy Spirit, it's your story. And your story is just what God has done in your life. It needn't be heavy. Many people think that you don't witness because my story is not as impressive as that story. Or this story. So now I'm shutting up. Nonsense. That's what the word says. By the power of your witness. Whatever that is. So, tonight I won't speak too much anymore. I want you guys to come. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Only twice minutes. I'm going to time you. If you want to. I want you to come and share with the people how God saved you. How did Jesus meet you? When? Where? What happened? So kind of like, where were you? Why did you decide to accept Christ? What happened? and then how you felt afterwards. That's all. You've got 2 minutes to do that. So I'll start. Okay, not a heavy story. I was just sitting in class when I was 12 years old, and a lady came to our class, and she was sharing the gospel with us for 3 weeks on end, 4 weeks on end. And I was like, you know, and I went to church with my parents, and I was prayed for by a lot of people. And I was like, when she did, she said, after 4 weeks, she said, so who of you wants to give your life to Christ? I was thinking that everybody will give their lives to Christ. How can they not see this? But it was just me and one other girl putting up our hands. The rest, they were not there. And I'm like, yes, yeah. And that day, I gave my life to Christ. Fearful, running away for every darkness, the veil was flipped around, 12 years old, not afraid of a thing. Walking through the dark streets, hoping somebody would jump out at me so that I can give them a hug and say, Jesus loves you! And that's how I met Christ. I've met him a lot of times after that in different ways. But that was the first time that I really experienced Christ changing me. Next. If nobody comes, then we're going home now. Or I'm going to make a massive altar call right now to get you guys saved.
Hello, everyone. So I've told my testimony to the youth. Some of them are here tonight. But 2 minutes is not a lot of time. So I need highlights. I was very much in the world. I got saved at about 24, 25-ish, somewhere there, 25. And it was gradually. It wasn't like a boom thing, like a one-day thing. It was like a process. But God did something in my life. One night we went to a church in Somerset West. And I was on the worship team, but I wasn't saved yet. And God put me. I was put on the spot. I was just supposed to stand in the corner and play lead guitar, and something happened, and I had to lead the worship. And I was very scared. But God changed something in my heart that night, and I just got confidence. I was very shy. My whole testimony, I will tell you one day, if you've got time, we can drink coffee. But I was a very shy person, and God just completely flipped me around that evening, and I just knew that week, this God is awesome. He just does so much. He turns your weakness into strength, and he just gives you the power just to move forward and just to conquer the world. And he gave that to me that evening, just a taste of that. And I just knew I had to serve this God, and just the week after that, I got saved. The main thing, and she's probably listening now, but she's in the baby room, but my wife actually is the biggest contributor to me getting saved. So, thank you, Tabitha.
Good evening. My name is Marai. I also met the Lord a few times, but every time I got to know him better. So I was born in a Christian family, and I have grandparents and parents who prayed for me, especially grandparents. So when I was 10, I gave my heart to the Lord because someone, a boy, swore at me. Then I was just like, Lord, I can't fight my own battles. You have to help me. And then it really happened. I was so angry at him, I just turned around and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I never turned around again. But then when I was 13, I got involved in the wrong friendship group. And I used a lot of my strengths to be really mean with people. So I think you could have called me a bully. The worst kind, very emotional. I know. I know, the Lord is so great. So then at the end of my grade 7 year, that's when I was 13, I remember sitting one night in, again, kids that I would have gone to high school with were just being very naughty in vulgar ways. I don't know how to put it, but they, and I just sat there, and I didn't want to spend time with this kind of people anymore. And I knew that day that if I was serious about the Lord and where I was heading, I cannot hang out with people like this anymore. And I made the decision, and then my life got very lonely. So if I can say that the Lord saved me, he saved me out of heaviness and out of depression. It's in Psalm 116, it says that the Lord lifts us up out of the miry clay. So it felt like I was under a lot of things that stick you to the ground. A lot of things happened in my life, but it's like death and all its friends is a very heavy thing, and it comes to sit on you. But one thing isn't heavy enough. It's another heavy thing and another heavy thing and another heavy thing. And every time I made a decision for the Lord, it's like I got stronger to stand up, but these things were still on me. And as I walked with the Lord and really, really found new friends, but like that's like years and years and years, finding new friends, choosing the Lord all the time. He helped me to just get rid of these things. And the moment I started walking a road with Holy Spirit, he said that he wants me to climb mountains and to worship, but I had a spirit of heaviness. I didn't know how to praise him without crying. I didn't know how to live without being heavy. And he lifted me out of that. He lifted it off me. And he makes me run. He makes me climb mountains without anything heavy on me. But now I had to learn to know this is a heavy thing and this is not. And even still today, I need to not allow heavy things to come and sit on me, because they come with friends. So the Lord saved me from heaviness and bad friendships. Praise him.
Amen. Hello. I just have a very short testimony. I grew up in a very Christian house with a reverend for a father, and I'm the eldest of three children. So we just grew up very, very, we have to go to church every Sunday morning and night and so on. So it just went on like that, and we came to Malmesbury in 1988. It's a long time ago. And yes, I thought I was saved, but I was never saved. I was just from this world. So I met a lady who sells skin products and so on. And she just walked a path with me, and she just told me there's something before my face, a veil or something. I was in my 30s, and it just bothers me, and I couldn't understand what she says to me, but the Lord just make it open, and I've just found the Lord, and I've just been reborn, and now I can't get enough. And so I'm just give all the honor to Jesus. Thank you.
Get Debs first.
Hello, everyone. Very short. I'll be very short, actually. Well, my story started when we had everything, and everything was good up until we lost everything, and up until we got to rent a house closer to a church. In the location, anyway, by the way. And that's how we actually got to attend the church, and we got to be saved there. So we lost everything, and we got to know Jesus, and now we got everything back, and it's beautiful. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a testimony about cancer also. I think that's how most people think I got saved, but that's in fact not how I got saved. in my 20s, I went through a couple of bad relationships, and it became my identity to have a girlfriend. And I didn't know life being single, And then I went through a breakup in 2010. And I always knew, like, the Shofar Church and, you know, I thought I knew what they did. And you wouldn't find me dead in the Shofar. That's what I thought. Like, I will never go to that place. And so I was living in Verliesdorp and I was having a really tough time emotionally. And whenever I had to drive from Verliesdorp to Paarl or Stellenbosch for work, I used to drive through the down the Franschhoek Pass and past the Shofar in Franschhoek. And it's got a orange sign next to the door. And that thing just tickled me. I couldn't stop thinking about that orange S thing on the door. And yeah, that thing. Yeah, it's like that on the door, and the door, yeah. And after a week or two, I was just so fed up with this thing. And I drove into the church ground and I stopped, got out, and then I just walked in. And this is totally not, I don't think it was me. When I looked again, I was standing in the office in front of the admin lady. And I'm like, hi, my name is Andre. At what time does your church service start? And I still can't believe I did that today. But and she said, no, at 9 o'clock on Sunday, you're welcome. And I said, like, why do you guys wear to church here? And then she said, no, you can, yeah, nothing. You can just come. And so I actually went on the Sunday, and when I walked in there on the Sunday morning, I just had this feeling, this is my home. It was incredible. I just had this feeling, this is my home, Andre, you need to be here. And I committed my life to the Lord. I said the prayer a couple of times, you know, the sinner's prayer or whatever, but nothing happened. I didn't really commit. And I started there, and then I saw all these people with their hands in the air, and I was just like, whoa. My hands were locked onto the chair in front of me. I was like, no way I'm going to lift my hands today. But then I drove away there, and I thought, like, yo, Lord, these guys actually have got such freedom. And I asked the Lord, just, can I have the same freedom? And by the next Sunday, I was like, woo, you know, so. Yeah, and then God just started to change me. I started to learn about the Holy Spirit. I went to church a lot, by the way, when I was younger. And, I started to know the Holy Spirit, and I started committing to things in church that would help me grow. And Jesus was faithful, like the Paul said, in every single step. So, yeah, that's my testimony.
Right. Okay, John, jy is nou om en as dit la. 2 minute.
Ek is baie goed in Engels, maar ek gaan so 'n bietjie Engels en Afrikaans praat. Net 2 minute, pastor, bear with me. I'm not a church member of your church, but I feel free, so I can give my testimony. Maybe it's the first and the last time you see me. But I came to the Lord because of my mother. She was 24 years old when I was born. So that was the year when she met the Lord. So she's been with him ever since. She's 73 years old now. I'm 46. But I came to the Lord when I was 10 years old because of her. We were very naughty, me and my two sisters, my stepsisters. So one Sunday she couldn't take it anymore. So in church she told the pastor, "Pastor, just before you preach, these two children, I can't take it anymore with them. They must come to the front. You must pray for them." So we were a little bit afraid of the pastor, so we were hiding behind the chairs and so on. But eventually she make us to come out to the front. And then he prayed for us. I was 10 years old, and from that Sunday we changed. We weren't so naughty anymore. So but I couldn't understand what this gospel was all about. But as time went on, I begin to understand. And from 10 years old, I thank my mother and the Lord that he saved me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, I also gave my heart to Jesus in a more traditional church.
called the Evangelisch Gereformeerde Kerk van Zuid-Afrika. but I could see there was lots of meetings that I had with God throughout my life, and I can really see Him holding my hand throughout my life. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here today, definitely. But more like recently, I moved from Pretoria to Mooiresburg, which is quite an isolated, where God kind of isolated me, where I needed the church to get in touch with God and get a more, how can I say this, better relationship with God, a better relationship with people. And yeah, that's my story.
John, we like you, man. We're excited to see what God is going to do through your life. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, that you give us the power, Lord, to witness through your Spirit. And God, just as we did tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just empower us, Lord, to know that, God, it's not such a heavy thing, Lord. It's just what you've done in our lives, Lord. It's a story that we tell. And God, your story, Lord, our witness, oh God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that is powerful. God, it changes lives, God. And Father, people can enter into that place, Lord God, of your Spirit just bringing heaven, Lord God, close to people, Lord. Because when we know you, Lord, we take your kingdom with us wherever we go. Because you have tabernacled in us, God. You live in us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we will, through our mouth, oh God, and just what you've done in our lives, God, start to speak boldly. Lord, to have an effective power, Lord, to witness through your Holy Spirit. To our friends, Lord God, and to people that you've put in our lives, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, for every heart that is fearful, for every heart that thinks, oh God, that they cannot do this. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit gives us the power as we step out in faith, Lord, to do what you have called us to do. And Father, I pray, Lord, that in this week as we go, Lord, that people will experience, Lord, just that wonderful place of knowing that as you share your testimony and what God has done in your life, Lord, that people respond, Lord, in faith to that. Father, and that heaven rejoices as we rejoice, as one or two sinners, Lord, as we speak to them, come to know the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and give their lives to Him. So, Father, we honor you and thank you for this evening, God. So, Andre, come. As Andre just plays, I want to just pray for us. You guys can stand with us. I'm still praying, I know, but so Father, as we stand, we just bring our hearts before you. If you are here tonight and you are really, you know, you've been asking God, help me to share effectively, Lord. Help me to share my faith, Lord. I'm so afraid, Lord, to do this. Then I want to invite you tonight, and I want to pray for you, and I'm going to ask Peter and Irina just to come, and we're going to lay your hands on you, and we're going to trust God to fill you with His Spirit and give you that special power that the disciples had just to witness and to be bold in your witness to this world and to tell your story, not to be shy, because it's not about you. It's about Christ and what He's done for you and for this world, and we can have a part in that. So if that's you, you know, as we sing, or just as Andre plays this song, just come to the front and we want to pray with you. And then especially if you're here tonight and you do not know this Jesus, oh, then I want to pray with you more than ever. Tonight is your night to come to that place where so many of us have come and say, Jesus, here I am. You know, I've heard about you, but I've never made that commitment to you to say, God, here I am. I give you my life. Lord, no more playing around. God, I'm going to change because your Spirit allows me to change. So, Father, thank you for every heart, Lord, responding in whichever way, God. Coming to you for the first time, God, or just coming to receive, Lord, that place of having the power of your Spirit, Lord, in us, alive, Lord, and being able to impact this world, God, with what you've given us. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Lord, as we pray for people, come and fill us, Lord. Fill us with that power to bring the gospel, Lord God, to bring that witness, Lord God, from Jerusalem, Lord God, to Judea, Father, to the ends of the earth. In whichever way, in whichever setting, Lord God, we find ourselves in. And I honor you for that. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and make his face shine upon you, and give you peace as you go into this world, into this week, into your workplace, and share your story there. You have got a story to share. Share it, because Christ is with you through his Spirit. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.